We have all been called to
a special vocation
God wants us to follow doing. Imagine, though, if we were called to something, but we didn't have the tools in order to do it. We didn't have the training or the background in order to be able to do it. Imagine if you were trained as a doctor, but were expected to be a construction worker. Or perhaps that you were trained to be a car mechanic, but were being called to be a surgeon instead. And some things kind of have certain similarities that could help with a kind of a difference in that kind of a career or occupation, but it would make it a lot harder if you don't have what you need in order to do that job. But fortunately, when God calls us, He does not just leave us to our own devices. He doesn't just say, oh, you don't know how to do that? Oh, well, sorry, good luck. He helps us. He raises us up, helping any imperfections that we have, any things that we're lacking, so that we can do it. Now, it doesn't make it easy. It doesn't mean that everything is going to be trouble-free and a cakewalk. Rather, it's simply that God helps us through it. We might still have those challenges, but we can do it with the help of God. We see examples of this in our readings today. In our first reading, we hear from the book of Jonah. We kind of jump in the middle of a really good story about Jonah. I'm always a little disappointed that we don't get to hear about the fish part. But we can remember from hearing this story growing up about how Jonah is called to go to Nineveh. But he doesn't go there at first, does he? We need to understand that Jonah had a great love for his people, for Israel. And he had a great love for God. And he believed that God should only help those people of Israel. And so when God told him, I want you to go and preach repentance to the city of Nineveh, Jonah didn't want to have anything to do with that. He didn't like the idea that, what if those Ninevites believe what I say and repent and you show them mercy? No, Jonah didn't want to see that. Jonah didn't want to see God giving mercy to anybody else. And so, as we know, he goes the other way. He heads to the Mediterranean Sea and he gets on a boat. And of course, we know that in a storm, he is tossed overboard, swallowed by this large fish or whale, depending on what translation you look at. Eventually ending up back on shore. And that's where we pick up the story this morning. Jonah is asked again, go to the city of Nineveh. Say the words that I'm going to give you to say to those people of Nineveh. And while Jonah at first, his pride, maybe a little bit of his own fears, different things going on in his life, he doesn't do it. He's not willing to go and do what God tells him to do at first. But then he does it. He goes, he learns his lesson, he goes, and he preaches. And the people believe him. Even the king of Nineveh makes a point of doing the repentance necessary to earn God's forgiveness. God raised up Jonah to be able to complete that, even though he didn't want to at first. And then in the gospel today, we hear of Jesus calling four of his apostles. two sets of brothers, Simon and Andrew, and then James and John. And when we read about the lives of these apostles, and read in the Gospels, and we look at the Acts of the Apostles and other stories about these men, we can see that these men weren't exactly the cream of the crop. They weren't exactly the best guys that you would necessarily pick to be your group of 12 people helping you out. Peter, especially, I always like to say that he had a serious case of foot and mouth disease, because he would often just say things, thinking on his feet, but would make a fool of himself. Open mouth, insert foot. And he never seems to quite get it right. And many of the apostles, you can tell, they just don't quite understand what it is that Jesus is trying to tell them. We can also look at Judas, who on the surface probably looked like a pretty dependable guy. He's given, put in charge of the money bag. But we can see as well out of the Gospel of John that he ends up stealing from the money bag. And of course, even worse, he betrays our Lord. These men are not exactly, again, the most dependable guys. And yet, Jesus calls them. And we hear how he calls these two sets of brothers, specifically, to come after him, and he will make them fishers of men, bring in more people to be with our Lord. After the resurrection, we see a big transformation with these men. Whereas at once they were so scared to even go out and do anything after the resurrection, they were afraid they were going to be arrested and crucified like Jesus. They were a mess. But then there's suddenly this big transformation, and they're preaching, they're telling people, they're saying the very words that Jesus says at the beginning of the gospel today. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. They're able to do what they are called to do. They even call more men to come and be fellow disciples of Jesus, calling men and women throughout history to be followers of Jesus. God has raised them up to their purpose. In my own experience, growing up, and still today at times, I've had anxiety over different things in my life. Anxiety about doing the best that I can. I had a feeling of that I wasn't good enough. I wasn't able to do the best that I could. I wanted to be able to do things perfectly. I know I've talked about this before. And so if anything screwed up, or if I had any fear that anything in my wildest imaginations could screw up, it made me nervous. It made me scared. It kept me from being able to do what I could do. Now, this doesn't magically go away just because God called me to the priesthood. But in my striving to become a priest, in that work and seminary, God put many people in my life who were able to help me to be able to work on those things, to be able to be better under control of my nervousness, anxiety about different things. I was able to learn to have that confidence in myself, not worry so much about if, you know, a little mistake happened here or there, or if things could go wrong, not to worry so much about it. And when I was ordained, I believe truly that it was the grace of the sacrament that finally helped me to be able to be more under control of those anxious feelings. to be able to do the will that God wanted for me. My point is, don't be afraid of what God is calling you to do. Don't be afraid if there's feelings of, I'm not quite good enough, or I don't have the tools that I need to be able to do this job. God will raise you up, help you to be able to do his will. May God continue to bless all of us as we respond to his call.